James chapter 1, verses 13 through 18. James chapter 1. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. Because God cannot be tempted by or with evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. James chapter 1, verse 14. But each one, everyone, is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. In other words, your being tempted is not coming from God. If you think that, you are being deceived. And he just said, be not deceived into thinking that, my brothers. Why? Because every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. That's what comes down from God, that which is good and perfect. Comes down from the Father of lights, the lights being, we believe, the sun, the moon, and the stars. With him, there is no variation or shifting shadow. That's a place to just lift your hand and say, thank you, God. Great is your faithfulness. We can always trust on in you and lean on you. Do you really get that? I don't think we really get that, Mr. Chris. I don't think we really get that. The sun, the moon, and the stars all go through phases and ebbs and flows and brights and flickers and dims, and sometimes we don't see it at all. But with him, there is no variation. With him, there is no shifting shadows. With him, it's solid. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm a living witness, because what he's done for me in the past, he's doing again right now. And what he's doing right now, he will do in the future. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I am the Lord. I change not. Verse 18, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Back to verse 14, where we left off last time. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Remember, James is giving us, he's laying out, much like a lawyer in the courtroom, he's laying out his case as to why God, it should never be said that God is the one doing the tempting. And the first one we found out is because God is untemptable, has no experience with evil, and therefore cannot even be tempted with evil, because the nature of God and the nature of evil repel one another. They have nothing in common. God is pure and holy, and his purity is unmixed eternally. It's not like he's pure up to here and then beyond that it gets a little shady. His purity is unmixed with anything else forever. He is eternally pure and holy and has nothing to do with evil, and he can never look favorably or with pleasure upon that which is evil. Secondly, the reason that God should never be blamed for temptation is because of what resides in man. And what is that? His own lust. Look at verse 14. But remember the contrasting conjunction, saying that it's not this, it's not God that's causing you to sin, but that. What is the that? Our own lust. Each one of us is tempted that way. Remember, we said that includes every individual, all peoples, no exception. Everybody, saint or sinner, Christian or non-Christian. Tempted, remember, each one is tempted. When he is carried away, we're going to say, come back to that, by, remember that word by or of is the word hupo in this one. Remember, hupo is direct and near. It's the direct agent of your sin. Who's the direct cause of your sin? Your lust. And his own. We stopped at his own. Remember, his own emphasizes the fact that each individual has his own particular bent of lust. That thing that lures him to the bait. We said last time, each person's soul has its own patterns of fleshly desires. And as a result of their environment, their upbringing, their personal choices, they tend to bend toward a particular sin, if you will, a particular habit or particular interest. And we talked about the sandwich. When the right sandwich is placed on the hook, when the right sandwich is placed so strategically in the middle of the trap, we go after that. What happens? We tend to get hooked and caught. And ultimately, there's death of some sort, whether it's physical, spiritual, or the death of finances, the death of relationships, a lot of that goes on. Death of a right mind. There's a lot of things that go on once the trap falls. Once it is sprung, nothing good happens. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Lust, remember we told you, is a compound Greek word. The core word of lust is thumos, meaning fiery, glowing, ardent, passion, craving, longing, desire. And when you add the word, the preposition epi to it, it intensifies that word. So together, epithumia means intense, strong, powerful, concentrated, and deep passions, deep, strong desires, cravings, and longings. Listen, coming from the soul of the core of our very being. Remember we said, now this is a neutral word in the Greek. It can be good or bad. It can be good or bad. Look at the context. In this case, it's bad, very bad. This is where we stopped. We stopped with a quote from one commentator who said, animals and fish are successfully lured to traps and hooks because the bait is too attractive for them to resist. It looks good. Smells good, appealing strongly to the senses. Their desire for the bait is so intense. Look at desire, and so intense is that desire that it causes them to lose caution. That's the frightening part. Not only that, it causes you to overlook or ignore the trap, to overlook and ignore the hook until it's too late, until it's too late. What then? Here's the question. What then is pulling us, drawing us so strongly toward this bait? So powerfully toward this trap. What is it? Is it God? No. Here's one that'll shock you. Is it even Satan? No. It's not his demons. No. Now, Satan does bait the hook. Right? He put the little worm on the hook and throwed it in the water of your life. And just let it sit there. He baits the hook. Demons bait the hook. Satan sets the traps. Demons sets the traps. But if the traps are just set and the hooks are baited and just dangling there, they're just sitting there. Question still remains. What or who is drawing you toward those hooks and traps? Can you see that question? Because in and of itself, it's just hanging there. You follow that? Yeah, it's just hanging there. There ain't no gun to your head drawing you from wherever you are to the hook. Something is causing you to go toward that. What's the answer? Look at it again, verse 14. I know you've seen it, but hopefully after that put together, you see it a little stronger. Verse 14, each one is tempted. When he is carried away and enticed, here's the answer, by his own lust. That is what draws you. That's what allures and entices. I tell you that. Come on over here, big boy, big girl. It's our lust. See, the problem in our sinning is not God. It's not even Satan. It's not even the devil. Flip Wilson was wrong. Yeah, the devil doesn't make you do it. Some of y'all know about Flip Wilson. Some of us older folk do. He had a, the devil made me do it when he was acting like Geraldine. That's not right. No, the devil is not making you do that. Glory be to God. That's water. Yeah, no, it's water. Yeah, so it's not the devil. It's not demons. It's not Satan. It's not even the world, if you will. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, it's not even the world. It's not wicked and sinning people. They are used as bait. You follow that? The world is used as bait, but it's not them. It's all on you. But that's good news, though. That's good news. Because you with the Holy Spirit, greater is he. See. That's why I said, just keep on hanging out at Word of Life, teaching this word. Those verses are going to come up more a lot. We know it for greater is he that's in you, the heathen in the world. Lord have mercy. And we still around living an undefeated life like the greater one ain't never ever lived in us. It don't mean nothing. We just quote it because we know it. Hopefully you'll see that. When you recognize you have no one to blame but yourself, then you'll realize that no matter how beautiful the bait is, whether the devil uses the world system, people, wicked people, no matter what the demons, the devil, and they put on that bait, put in the middle of the trap, put on the hook, makes us no difference because the greater one lives in me and I can control my flesh. Thank you, Lord, is right. We don't have to be a slave to sin. Then those verses, Romans 6, for we are dead to sin. No longer to live according to the dictates and the desires of it anymore. For ye are dead to things of this world. So the problem in our sinning is not in any of that. It's us. Someone once wrote, the problem is not the, listen, this is, the problem is not the tempter without, the problem is the traitor within. That's the problem. It's the traitor within. What is that traitor? Your flesh. Where your lust dwells. Our being able to be tempted is because of our nature and the desires that, here's the word, lurk within, just like on the QT. That's how you're just lurking. And if you don't keep them bad boys under control, you go back to that sin and take you where you don't want to go, keep it longer than you want to be there and have you doing things you never thought you would do. Time I look back on my life, I'm like, Lord, have mercy. What was I thinking? How many think that, honestly, I'm not asking you to say what you were thinking. Don't say that. Well, how many say, Lord, what was I thinking? Amen. You're right. Yeah, I need to put. What was I thinking? How in the world I get there? What was I doing? Why would I even want to go there? That's what sin. That's what before. If your sin is not under your lust is out of control, that's what you'll be asking yourself in the morning. After you done did the deed, you're like, what? Start looking around like you never been. What am I? Who am I? What is this? You don't know who you are, where you are. Lord have mercy. I don't know if my mother may remember. There was a cartoon character called Pogo. Like a little woolly little cartoon, like came out in the 50s and the 60s. P-O-G-O. There was a line that they had the cartoonist wrote, that Pogo, the character, said. He said, "We have met the enemy, and he is us." That's a profound statement, yeah. Pogo the cartoon. We've met the enemy, and he is us. I don't know about you, but for me, when I got saved and realized I was the problem, I got happy. Because I can control me. I felt out of control. Before I got saved, I thought it was just, I'm just at the mercy of, you know, the gods of fate, you know. Some old crap like that. But no, it's not. We're not just some disconnected, willy-nilly meandering through the universe, wandering like a loose planet or a meteorite just falling helplessly. No. He knows my name. He knows the way that I take. There is a God who knows every single number of my hair. He bottles every tear, meaning that he keeps track of all my suffering. He listens attentively to my prayers. He's always watching over me. He never slumbers or sleep. He protects me. He keeps me. He guides me. He provides for me. He loves me. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Oh, we need to keep that in the forefront of our mind. And don't let this lust just drive us crazy. The enemy is us. Please take that as good news. You are not helpless in your sin. You're not helpless in that which you are caught up in. You aren't helpless. You have the power of God, the blood of Jesus. You got the presence of the Holy Spirit. What do I tell you all the time? You're never alone because you got at least a gang of three, a gang of three always. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and you makes four and no more. Amen? You got a gang walking with you, baby. The most powerful, influential gang that has ever existed. Walking on the inside of you because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And the Bible says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. They all in you, man. Use that power. Use that wisdom. Use that might. Amen? Use it. See, you prolong the problem when you go blaming somebody else. Yeah, you prolong it. Remember what are we taught here for years by the grace of God, and that is that the first step in solving a problem is first recognizing that you have one. So once you do that, you're well on your way, because God then can come in and then handle his business, because he's promised you, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." He said, "I'm your shepherd," meaning I'm your protector, I'm your provider, and I'm your guide. Look at what Apostle Paul said in Romans 7, talking about this enemy within, the traitor within that drives us toward baited hooks and set traps. What's that drives us? our flesh. Apostle Paul, the great apostle, some argue the greatest that has ever lived. Look what the challenges he was facing. Look at the challenges he was facing. Romans 7, verse 15. Romans, the 7th chapter, verse 15. Thank you, Father. Paul, here by the Holy Spirit, verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. He's saying, I'm doing things that I'm not supposed to do, but the law is pointing me in the right direction. It's not the law's fault. The law is good. You follow that? When it says don't kill, I'm not supposed to kill. Don't steal, I'm not supposed to steal. Love your neighbor as yourself, I'm supposed to do that. The law is good. I'm just not right. That's all right. Yeah, don't blame the law. We always trying to blame somebody. I had a real good out, and mine was my daddy did. I grew up with no father, for the most part. I'll be 50 next month, and for 41 years, I haven't had a father. I can say, well, you know, that's why I'm the way I am. God ain't going for that. He said, I'll be your father. When your mother and your father forsake you, then I'll adopt you. I'll take you up. That's why we have received the spirit of adoption. And because of that, we cry out, Abba! Daddy, Papa! Or as Brianna says, Poppy. She calls me Poppy. The Lord will take you up and make a man out of you. I'm a living witness. Since the law is good, verse 17, so now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. So Paul is saying here that the problem, my being able to be tempted, or my temptability, if you will, is related to what? My indwelling sin, which is related to my flesh. Look at verse 18. For I know that in me, see the end of verse 17, in me, then he explains that in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, see that? Dwells no good thing. That is in my flesh. The willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. Verse 23, look around verse 23. He said, I see different law in my members. What are the members of my body? My body parts, because that's where your flesh manifests its evilness. In your fingers, eyes, toes, what you see, what you do with your hands, what you do with your sexual organs, what you do with your feet, whatever it is, whether you commit murder with the hand, whether you stab someone, whether you hit someone, whether you curse, those are the members. So he says, I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, see there, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members, which is in my flesh. Man, it's a battle going on. I tell them, that's... You know, I told you all, y'all can have your mansions in the transparent streets of gold. That's cool and everything. Give me freedom from this crap. Excuse my bluntness. That's what I want rid of. No more flesh. I'm telling my nephew, man, I'm tired of averting that. Because they get neckeder and neckeder, says Auntie Laura, these girls with the little skimpy look. You almost have to dread when summer come around. That's getting neckeder and neckeder. You almost have to dry like this and just get some sort of visionary thing up here so you can see how to drive right, because you can't kind of look nowhere. My Lord. Because you want to look. I want to look. that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. I don't care how saved you are, your flesh never got saved, and it never will. And the sooner we realize that, the better we're going to deal with it. We're going to deal with it. Because out of that flesh come anger, out of that flesh come lust, lust of the eye, lust of the, and pride of life, and lust of the flesh. Out of there comes a whole bunch of ugly, ungodly, devilized mess. And if you don't keep that fool under control, he'll run you ragged and run you out of here to an early grave, too. He said, I see a different law in my members, making me a prisoner. Look at verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. I'm just a wretched man. Who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God. On the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. There's that battle that will be waged until you leave here. The problem is that even though we've been redeemed, yeah, we've been redeemed. And even though we've received a new nature, yes, we have. And even though we are created in Christ Jesus, wow, we've been redeemed, we received a new nature, and we are a new creature, but in spite of all that, we still have an enemy within. Now that's real. That's real talk. You've been redeemed. That's the truth. Think about that. You're a new creature. Created in the image and likeness of God, got the nature of God. Yet and still there's an enemy within you. And it'll drive you to do ungodly things if you aren't careful. It's not God. It's not the devil. It's not the world. It's not demons. It's not cars. It's not money. It's not houses. It's not girls. It's not boys. They are on the hook. But that's not what's driving you toward it. What's driving you toward that is your lust. Does that make sense? Makes a lot of sense to me. I hope it does the same way with you. It's passion, it's lust, it's desires. It is a, you know, it all starts with a longing to be satisfied with something. It's a lust, a longing, a craving to be satisfied. That will satisfy me. That will satisfy. I want that. And it, you're wanting it. You're being driven towards something that you're lusting after can be a good thing, but perverted. For example, sleep is a good thing. Sleep is good. But you can sleep so much that you can become lazy. Amen. You can become a sluggard. Sleep is good, but you can lust after it till it's perverted. Clothing, thank God. We need to cover up our nakedness. Thank God for clothes. Hallelujah. But we can take it to where we enjoy being, you know, receiving props for our clothes and praise. We love the attention we get for clothing, that it can become a god to us. Where we will go broke trying to buy this and that and the other just to get the praise of men. That's perverted. A house, thank God. You know, married folk can do their marital duties in a covert, quiet, hidden place. House is good. Take care of family private matters in a home. You got to be all out and open. Protect you from the elements. Folk go to the extreme. Get a house so big that if someone died in one end, you wouldn't even know it. It's taken to the extreme. Comforts beyond where it goes into a wasteful thing. See, they're good. Sleep is good. Clothing is good. House is good. But lust can pervert it. Does that make sense? Same thing with food. Food is good. You need it to sustain. But people overeat, become gluttons, Food dominates them, controls their cravings, controls everything. People, some people get so happy when they're just about to eat, you'd have thought Jesus came back. And that means that when if you get real happy when you're about to eat, every time you're about to eat, you got a problem. I'll tell you that right now. You got a problem. You need to be delivered. Ain't nobody like this one. It's true. Just get, ooh, we finna go eat. Ooh, wee. Where you going? It don't make a difference. I'll be there. Calm yourself down. You need to calm down. Put a knife to your throat if you're giving to gluttony. Yeah. How about sex? Wonderful. Great for marriage. People, step out of there. Just lust after everything. Whether same sex, opposite sex, whatever. Just gone. Food, clothing, housing, food, sex, all good things. But lust comes along and pervert those good gifts that came from God. The devil is a perverter, never a creator. He never creates anything. He perverts everything. He'll try to. But I've said that he does do that, but that's not the devil's fault. It's your lust that does that. As we get ready to close, look in Galatians chapter 5. Are you understanding this word of life? Does this make sense to you? Man. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Yes, sir. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. I don't know about you. I love this teaching. Amen. I really do. It you know, it's bringing to light some things that we might have kind of known, but it's just bringing them crystal clear, just right in front of us. Like, I see that. It's in high def, Blu-ray disc type stuff. Amen. Crystal clear. Amen, Becky? Crystal clear. I see this. We ain't blaming God. We done blaming God. Remotely, oppo, hoopo, directly. We done blaming God. We done blaming Satan, because it wasn't the devil that made you do it. Flip Wilson and Geraldine was both wrong. We threw blaming demons. We threw blaming the world. We threw blaming money, cars, sex. We have come across the enemy, and he is us. It's in me that is in my flesh where no good thing dwells. Amen is right. Boy, the quicker you face up to your own sins, the quicker you'll get rid of it. Galatians 5:17. Here's some more insight. For the flesh lusts, King James, better yet, sets its desire against the spirit. And the spirit against the flesh. They gangbanging down there. For these are in opposition one to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. You want to push the plate away, but the food is just so good. You've been done stop being hungry. You just lusting and being a glutton. The hunger been satisfied. And you still eat. Let me open up my button. Let Grandpa open up his button here. And just let it settle a little bit. Now I'll be back for another plate. We used to laugh at our people when they said that. You know, our uncles and all that. Thinking it was funny. When the Bible, Word of God says, put a knife to your throat if you're given to glutton. That's gluttony. house so big that the taxes would buy a car every year. Your property taxes. Buy you a nice car. You don't need all that house. Clothes, you paying $900 for some drawers. That's too much money for some drawers. Your socks is $50 a piece. What, they got gold inlaid? Yeah, they do. Okay, you need to stop it. I mean, that's ridiculous. Well, somebody had a dress. Oh, Lord. Oh, $90 million. Some dress had gold all over. Crazy. That's lusting. That's perverting. It's supposed to just cover your nakedness. Because you ain't supposed to walk out in the public naked. So put some clothes on. That's all it's for. And wake up. Quit sleeping so much. Some of us need to get some more sleep. Now, some of you on the other end, you need to go to sleep. Staying up too much. Watching TV, lusting for that. Oh, here go a good episode of Good Times. You done seen it 400 times? You quoting every word with the episode? Now watch it for, yeah, okay, now, and you quoting right with it. So. Y'all know this good preaching. Y'all know that. Just watching stuff, wasting your life away. One thing I've become really turned off, and I thank God for that, finally, almost 50 years, it's the TV. I watch sports sometime, a couple of things here and there, but my TV watching has gone way, 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 way down. And you know what I found out? Is that I'm able to keep my mind more on things set above. Why? Because TV, all you need is an image. Boop, boop, cross your mind, bam, there go your mind. One Victoria's Secret commercial, you done for a week. You go. I've learned this dope internet same way. The Lord is showing me. He said, you keep these images out of your head, you ain't got to get them. If you keep them out, I ain't got to go in and supernaturally rub them out. Root them up out of there. You know, like a grape juice stain sitting on a porcelain bathtub. Sitting in there for about 5 years, you need a whole ton of common cleansing and some elbow grease. It's going to be a while for that come out. The Lord said, why go through that? How about I just don't see it? So I'm just avoiding it. I'm just playing it. I'm understanding flesh more now than ever before. I'm just letting it go. Why? Why do I got to see that? I don't have to see it.
Wisdom.
Right. Amen. And as your pastor and leader, I'm telling you, that's what I'm doing. And I want you to follow. Cut that TV off as much as possible and get off that internet. Be wary, very aware of what enters here and here.
Yes, sir. Say that.
Keep yourself out of situations that cause you to see things that take your mind away from God or hear things that cause you to take your mind away from God. You may hear old school song. Song may be a wonderful song. It may not be anything wrong with the song, but if the song takes your mind to a place that's ungodly, you need to run away from that song. Ain't no woman like the one I got. Wonderful song. But if it causes me, because maybe at the time that song came on, I was doing something I wasn't supposed to do, that song, you ain't going to let me listen to it. I will keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Yeah, stayed on Jesus. That's how you get it stayed. I find I have so much more peace. And I got a lot of peace in my life. I really do. Well, man, it's just growing exponentially. Because I don't have to root stuff out of what I've seen. No male should ever watch America's Next Top Model. You shouldn't watch that show. That's not a show for you to watch. Them girls half naked, all crazy. That's not for you to watch. If you watch that, might as well watch Victoria's Secret commercial. Is that who producing? Oh, I thought she said Victoria's Secret producing. So well, that fits. Yeah, leave that stuff alone. I mean, we're closing, but let me fuss a little bit more. You know that what sometimes y'all know, when you turn into all them channels, it's already going to be bad. You already know. You approaching it like for Comcast Cable in Westland Digital, and soon you pass 59, you're in trouble. Because 60 on, you the 60s is dangerous. Hey, you coming out looking cross-eyed. Lord have mercy. I should have never seen that. I should have never turned past 59. 59 is the Disney Channel or something like that, or the Cartoon Network. Good enough. You start hitting 60, you in trouble. All kind of videos, rump shakers, and everything, you know. I'm going to spank that and pop that. And next thing you know, you took you 2 years to get the memories out your mind. I mean, all you saw was 2 minutes of video, and it hooked you up for 2 years. Ain't been right since. It's on the tape. This is true. He said, I need to edit that. But it's true. Let's work hard. Let's be more diligent in realizing that it's not the enemy without, it's the traitor within. You have an enemy that is residing in you, that is in your flesh, everywhere you go. If you don't get anything else out of that, out of this tonight, get that. And that what you see and hear feeds that enemy and gives him strength. And you playing with fire when you fool around with him too. When you milk him and give him a little burpee and give him some old drink and just feed him real good, he'll come up and tear you up. The graveyard is full of preachers who did not control their flesh. Full of them. Embarrass the congregation, embarrass the body of Christ. Preachers married 20 years, go off with a little girl in the congregation. Sad. That flesh ain't no joke, y'all. Don't play with him. Realize that he's an enemy. Apostle Paul said that is, he said, in me, that is in my flesh dwelling, no good thing. It's driving you away from God and toward the baited hooks and the bait that's in those traps that have been set for you. Be very aware. Father, in Jesus' name, we appreciate the instruction, the guidance, the counsel, and the admonition, the warnings from your word. We receive it. Say that, y'all. I receive it. I receive the word. I receive the word, and it is mine right now. All right. Father, you heard him. Hold him to that. We endeavor to be better, Father. We endeavor to be better. We want brighter lights, more outstanding cities. Higher heels, even, though they cannot be hid. Brighter light, saltier salt. We are distinctly, obviously Christian. No wonder, no guesses. We are Christian, and the world sees us. We endeavor to bring you glory, more honor, and praise. And for those of you who, For those of us who aren't bringing you any glory, we endeavor to bring you glory then. Honor and praise. And for those of us who are already bringing you glory, we endeavor to bring you more glory. And for those who are bringing you more glory, we desire to bring you maximum glory. In other words, we will not be satisfied where we are. We will always be chasing after you. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Whoa! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!